Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to the channel. Make sure you post comments as we're going along. Subscribe on Patreon, donate at PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Well, something's afoot. The vultures are circling around Sir Keir Starmer. Sir Keir being Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, First Lord of the Treasury. Is he Minister for the Civil Service? The PM usually is. He's been a Prime Minister for only 1 year, 2 months. But it's going really badly for him. His approval record's at record lows, and Labour won despite him and not because of him. So he was dragging them down. But anyway, he was their leader. They stuck with him. The Conservatives kept changing leader, on an almost annual basis, and looks like they might change it again. So Labour took over after that disastrous defeat for Labour under Jeremy Corbyn 2019. Early 2020, Starmer was leader. So he's been leader for 5.5 years now and got them into government. All right, so mission accomplished in that sense. He's no spring chicken either, looks younger than he is. I suppose it's a very healthy life, vegetarian, no smoking, no drinking, I don't think. And happily married. That's all good for his health. Maybe he takes exercise. He's not overweight, but he really is charmless. Isn't that what they call a black letter lawyer? Not one who's known for his advocacy or something like that. He wouldn't command a courtroom, but the geeky sort of backroom one. No question about it that he was highly effective. You don't get to be head of the Public Prosecution Service, or is it called Crown Prosecution Service, by being a nincompoop. But there he should have stayed. And he's a deeply uninspiring figure. But he's also lacked courage with this enormous majority. Is it the second biggest since the national government of 1935? It's certainly the biggest, second biggest Labour majority ever. Tony Blair in 97 was the biggest. Oh, actually, this one now, is it bigger than 2001 or not quite? I mean, it's close. A very, very healthy majority. And if even with that, they can't push through controversial legislation, when can they ever do it? Remember, these so-called welfare cuts wasn't even going to stop public spending rising. It's going to rise at a slower rate. And even that was it. The winter fuel allowance cut. Maybe think is the wrong thing to cut. They could have cut something else, but they changed course on that after a few months. and so wow, there's been pressure to end the two child benefits cap. You might think that's the right thing, but how are you going to fund it when inflation is quite bad? When they say there's a 40 billion pound black hole. I mean, Rachel Reeves lying about this tens of billions of pounds black hole that she inherited. Well, wait, even though the opposition party sees all the books. They knew this if this was true for months before they came into office. But this black hole now, they can't blame that on the Conservative Unionist Party. This has emerged since Labour came into office, and they're ducking the tough choices. So what little authority he had has leached away, and there've been rebellions against him, and he was firm withdrawing the whip from people. And you had to do that, otherwise there'd be no party discipline whatsoever. So a lot of things going wrong. The NHS waiting lists are long, and I realise it's a super tanker, as Frank Dobson, the Labour Health Secretary under Blair said, you can't turn that around very quickly, right? But the doctors and nurses, they held off the strikes for a year. They paid them extra. But if you pay Dane geld, you'll get the Dane back again. There may be strikes in trains, on buses, in the civil service, and so on. And they're not sorting it out. I mean, I don't have any easy solutions. These are very knotty problems. And what are they achieving? Where are they improving things? All they've managed to destroy is various independent schools with this VAT strike. And people from abroad used to come here paying that money. You can't go to a school that doesn't exist, so they won't come to schools in the United Kingdom. So that money will be lost to the UK. Bridget Phillips and the ignorant education secretary, who's never taught a single day in her life, says that these teachers from independent schools that go bust will then go to the state sector. Well, there's no proof that's true. They might leave teaching altogether, or they might just go abroad. British qualified teachers can get a job in any country in the world. There are British teachers everywhere, British schools everywhere. There are international schools they can go in. And teaching is one of the few things where your qualifications recognised almost every country in the world. They can get jobs in the United Arab Emirates or Australia or Canada or the Netherlands and wherever it is. So even if they do teach, it won't be here. They go abroad for higher salaries, lower taxes, a better standard of living, better behaved pupils, and. So it was really shooting the UK in the foot just out of spite. Even more pupils into state schools, which don't have enough teachers as it is. It was, the worst possible policy they could come up with out of sheer nastiness, just class bigotry. So they're failing on multiple fronts. Crime going up, illegal immigration going up, smash the gangs, no success on that one. The country's being roiled by demonstrations. You see where France is now, on the brink economically. The United Kingdom may be there in a year. Now, I don't know what if I was Labour, I always war game it from their perspective. I suppose you could, divert attention, a way to misdirect people would say some sort of commission into the royal family and Prince Andrew, public execution of Prince Andrew, metaphorically speaking, reduce the sovereign grant by 90%. That, although obviously in terms of finances, that would make minimal difference, but it would play well with leftists. I'm not sure what else you could do. I mean, obviously you've got to lift the two-child benefit cap. How do you fund that? I don't know. When you said you won't raise income tax or VAT, I can't remember what it was. A lot of tax I'd raise: inheritance tax, tax on alcohol from supermarkets, not from pubs and restaurants because they're going bust as it is. What else? Lower the inheritance tax threshold to zero and make sure that you can't give it away at any time. Tax on luxury items like jewelry going up, on cigarettes or vapes, on meat, particularly unhealthy meats are bad for the environment, like beef. Car tax, fuel tax, taxes on planes, tickets on planes, particularly business class, on hotel stays, loads of things you could put tax up on, and cut, arts grants. But the lovelies won't like that one. But people are trying to get rid of him. There's open muttering. The Westminster Village knows this. That's why, Angela Rayner was on manoeuvres, and it's been a bit of a setback for her. Surprised she hasn't criticised him from the back benches yet, but maybe she's really in disarray. Andy Burnham is openly known that he's trying to get in. Can he get Graham Stringer to retire as an MP for Manchester, and then Andy Burnham win a by-election there? There'll be a challenge from Reform UK, but I'm fairly sure Burnham would win it, even if narrowly. And so on, Sadiq Khan, but he's got to get back in as an MP. But where can he find a constituency to select him, and so forth? And remember, sort of May next year, there'll be elections to Holyrood and to the Welsh Parliament. And looks like Labour would lose in Wales, probably to Plaid Cymru, with Reform UK coming in third, maybe even second. In Scotland, looks like the SNP might even hang on to win five in a row, which is astonishing. John Swinney, their first minister, who failed as SNP leader of the opposition in the early noughties. And the SNP's made Scotland fail on almost everything: on education, on healthcare, on crime, on public finances. And they've got a bee in their bonnet about this whole trans thing, which has infuriated loads of people. And they failed on virtually everything, and yet still they're more popular than Labour. And and obviously local elections through most of England next May, so Labour may have a disastrous night, and it may just be impossible for Sir Keir to stay on. On the other hand, they want continuity, and not about the Tories changing leader every single time. It's possible he'll hobble on into 2028. So Keir Starmer obviously is in big trouble. Now, he's appointed David Lammy, seen as a loyalist to him. But if Starmer steps down, I think he wouldn't mind Lammy taking over. Yvette Cooper likewise. But she's a sort of robot politician from the Blair era, always very on message. Completely failed as Home Secretary on crime and illegal immigration. What a problem she's got there now as Foreign Secretary. And obviously the Peter Mandelson thing, that's being used against Starmer. How much did he know, and when did he know it? And he says now, well, if I had realised all this about Peter Mandelson, I never would have appointed him ambassador to Washington, D.C. Other people say, you're lying, you knew exactly all about this. It's only because it came out in public that you decided you had to go. And remember, when the story first broke, you defended him and said you had confidence in him, the same as about Angela Rayner. Says only when he was his hand was forced. So he's made some disastrous appointments as well. Who else would there be? Lucy Powell and Bridget Phillipson going for deputy leadership of the Labour Party. I think Bridget Phillipson's going to get it. Partly she's younger, got the more tragic backstory, and so on. So they could both say, oh, well, I'm from Northern England or something like that. I grew up working class. But Bridget's got more of a sob story. Frankly, she's better looking. I mean, does that count amongst Labour MPs? Maybe not, because they're not human. And then could she even take over? But deputy leader doesn't make a deputy prime minister, and she was said to sell herself as the conscience of the Labour Party to reconnect with working class communities. So be a bit of a thorn in Starmer's side to make him keep left. And I'm not sure who else is there to even talk about Wes Streeting. But obviously he's doing so badly on the National Health Service. I don't think he's that much of a serious contender anymore. Obviously Angela Rayner may try coming back in. So there are a lot of people who want his job, but what a poison chalice to inherit. There's a great chance then to have a reset, say, can we admit that policy was wrong? Rishi Sunak, when he came in 2022, he missed a golden opportunity to say, okay, your Rwanda plan is not working. I don't know what the plan is. We will find one, but we have to admit that and think again. And if you do that immediately, that's quite credible. If you leave it months or years, it's not. What do you think? How long has Starmer got left and who will replace him? Because about 9 months, those local elections, will he even last that long? I think he will. One thing I'd bet the house on, he won't be leading Labour into the next general election because it's a bit like John Redwood said about the Conservatives in 1995, no change, no chance. If they do change to a younger, more charismatic leader, they have a chance. Things could go wrong for Reform UK. They could implode. Look at the SDP in 1981, Social Democratic Party, 50% in the opinion polls, but they only got 25% in the election a couple of years later. Reform at 30% of the opinion polls. Suppose they only get half of that, 15%. Yeah, they'll get seats, in double figures, but they'll be nowhere near anywhere to form a government. They might get 20 or 30 seats, something like that. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying the idea that where they are now is where they'll be at the general election, I think that is far-fetched. Right. Thank you for watching the video and make sure you subscribe. Toodaloo.